Oh god, and this guy is making more videos. My country is being destroyed by people from the inside and the outside.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
Here's the full 40 minutes of my crew and I exposing California fraud. Minnesota was big, but California is even bigger. We uncovered over $170 million in fraud as these fraudsters live in luxury with no consequences. Like it and share, the fraud must stop. I am glad I had this fight with Taylor Lorenz. I really do think that income sources and stuff should be disclosed for people that are doing anything that's even remotely media adjacent. It is kind of crazy looking at Taylor Lorenz as she's part of that journalist in residence program or whatever. Like, you have no idea what kind of guidance they give to their journalists. There's no transparency whatsoever into any of that at all. You have no idea. I don't think they don't have to disclose. I read this, but I don't know how true this is. I don't think they have to disclose how much they pay under 50K. You have no idea what their ideological push is for the people there. Yeah, I don't know. I don't like that. I just think that's really weird. But I would say the same maybe about Chorus as well. I think that that all should be disclosed too. I just don't know how, I don't know what the responsible disclosure should look like. I feel like we do need more disclosing stuff though for all of the media stuff. That one woman, what's her name? I'm never going to try to pronounce her last name.
But they say it like at the front of the video? Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Well, or I don't know, just anything. That cat, what's the name of that one cat? It's like Afubugubugabugaburger or whatever. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? Oh, like, I don't know her, politics at all. My guess is she's significantly to the left of me. I don't know. But like, imagine you're her and like a ton of people start making attack videos on you. And it seems like a legitimate like social response to her as a person. But then imagine you find out, oh, hold on. Literally all of these people were part of this other program and they're all like getting paid money to do a nonpartisan politics. Or like, I would just, yeah, I don't know. Fuck. I hate our current media environment so much. Holy shit. It's crazy how people attack Evan for the dyslexia shit. Meanwhile, the actual retard is their guiding light. I don't think anybody gives a fuck about the dyslexia stuff. They're just repeating Trump's talking points. Trump has for some reason decided that this is how he's going to get them. Why are you anti-Citizens United? I don't know if I'm anti-Citizens United. I don't know if I'm anti or pro that. I feel like we need more information. Do you think there's a point where there's too much disclosure where anyone can draw any conclusion they want? Well, the thing is, we need disclosure, but we also need, like, maybe we don't need disclosure. Maybe we just need gatekeepers back in the media again, and none of that else would actually matter. I don't know. I might be fixating on the disclosure thing because I'm trying to find a replacement for having actual media-trained, media-competent people. Why can't we just ban social media? I don't know how I would implement it, but I'm in favor of, I think there should be a ban on all algorithmically generated news stuff. Algorithms shouldn't be able to touch news. It should be chronological only based on your subscriptions or whatever.
I don't know. Yeah, we're in a weird spot where I think that like we kind of need an independent, I didn't even know what it would be, like a news agency, like an independent fact checker, but
nobody
don't know.
Nobody trusts those. As soon as you make one, the conservatives
don't
trust
problem.
It. Like you have
the conservatives will also just go lie to you during the fucking anytime they do have a press conference, they'll just fucking lie. So
true. Wait, hold on. I like that one suggestion. What was it? Whenever a member of the government is speaking to the media, it should always be under oath.
That was my idea, and it's fucking true.
It is fucking true. What is the counter to this?
I mean, it's good because like if they can't talk about it, they could just literally say like, no comment, I can't talk about that.
Yeah. Are they technically always under oath when they are sworn in? If they're sworn in, yeah.
That's why you'll have Kristi Noem not lie under oath. Instead, she has to like be slippery around it.
Because I don't like that you can make statements in front of Congress and then go onto the media to clean them up afterwards. Like, there should be a, how do you say this? Like, some kind of, not like chain of custody, but like
a chain of events that has to remain true?
Let's say that I make statements. I make statement A, I make statement B, I make statement C. Then let's say that I go to court. In court, you have a judge that's evaluating these statements. Let's say that in court, under oath, let's say that I only really feel like I can say statement C. Okay. Let's say that my argument over here for, we'll say my conclusion D, let's say that this argument is like compelling with all A, B, and C together, but let's say with only C, let's say that D is just not very compelling. I don't know. True and untrue? True and false, I guess. I don't like that I could make A, B, and C to the media and then go in front of the judge and make statement C, and then my conclusion is false, but then I can run back to the media. And then I can complain that the judge didn't take into account A and B when I'm never comfortable making those statements under oath. Like, if you're saying something in an oath environment, I don't think you should be able to comment about it off, not under oath, later on. Does that make sense? Like, it should be like,
change it.
It should be like an inherited property, like on a
What's
computer
an example
system.
Of something that wouldn't be allowed here?
So we can do the election denial stuff. We can do the election denial stuff. So Giuliani was saying things like there's a lot of fraud, all this horrible stuff. Then I, when I go to court, I say, okay, well, it's not fraud, but I think that maybe some of these processes were changed in ways that they shouldn't have been changed. And then let's say the judge says, that's not compelling, fuck you. You shouldn't be able to run back to the media and augment your under oath statements by saying, well, you know, we went to the courts and they didn't want to look at the fraud or anything else. Once you've made those statements under oath, everything that comes afterwards should be like in that property. Like, you know how like you inherit properties and in permission trees or whatever for like security mm-hmm. stuff? Like, I think it should be like an inherited property of all those statements. You can't change those statements that you made under oath, not under oath in the media anymore. Does that make sense?
Well, I would say the issue with this one, well, first off, you're using like the best possible example. Using something like more recent is more difficult. But even with Giuliani, when he went and he went to the media and said, there's a huge amount of fraud going on right now. This is crazy. You know, say, okay, there's what's the evidence for that? And he was like, he wouldn't maybe say that under oath. Like, where is that? But at the time when he said that, he could be like, well, I was told by this person there's a huge amount of fraud going on. I wasn't lying. I was literally relaying what I was told by a trusted person. If you're asking me, did I specifically investigate every claim? No, I didn't. But I was told by the...
Yeah, that's fine. You can say all of this. But then when you go to court, if you can't bring mm-hmm. any of these people to testify, once you're out of court, you're not allowed to bring this up anymore.
Well, they would just do it in another way. Like, they're slippery. That's a problem. Like, you can say so much without saying anything. You know that.
Then you would get held accountable for it.
How?
Never mind. There should be no laws ever because you can always get around everything.
That's
ever.
Not
just
what I'm
kidding.
Saying.
Another
that's
glorious
classic Dan.
Another complete and utter victory. Anything else, Dan?
Something has to be done.
I'm just asking how it wants to be implemented, and it seems impossible to do what you're talking about doing.
How could it be impossible?
Because it's like four rule chains. It's like, okay,
you
once
make
you've
a claim about
this,
voter fraud. Once you go to court about a particular issue, whatever judgment is issued about that issue, that's the judgment. You're not allowed to augment the facts as a government official. You're not allowed
to... All right, let's play it out a hypothetical. Let's use a real one that you want. So the voter fraud thing, mm-hmm. which is the most extreme one, right?
Yep.
I mean, okay. So before this, I was saying there's fraud going on. We need to investigate this stuff, blah, blah, blah. Then we go to court and Giuliani said what? We don't currently have any evidence of fraud going on? Specific
Correct.
Fraud, as you would say it?
Any fraud.
Okay. Afterwards, what would Giuliani say? Giuliani would say, at the time I was in court, we haven't found any fraud. However, it appears that new evidence is coming out. I was informed yesterday of this. We're looking into this. This might be even bigger than what we thought was the case before.
Well, then in order to make those statements, you would have to amend your filings or you'd have to file a new court case.
No, there's a new statement. It's unrelated to the previous one. You have to sue me now. And then have me go under oath, and then I won't be able to say this one again. It's completely different.
But it's not completely different. It's the same thing.
It's not. It's new. It's new evidence I just had.
It's voter fraud. It's the same type of claim.
So once I said that this thing can't happen, I can never say it can happen again?
Not unless you file a new court case.
What about if new... So you have to preemptively do a court case before you can say a word.
Yeah. As a government official.
Even if there's
yes.
new stuff.
Yep. Don't we do this for criminal stuff already? No. Like if I accuse somebody, if I indict somebody for murder and then they beat the charges, I don't come out and keep saying, I think they're a murderer. I think they're a murderer. I think they're a murderer. Like if new stuff comes out, you can file. I think you can. I don't think double jeopardy applies if new evidence comes out.
Doesn't.
So no, you file another court case.
Filing another court case you could do, but that would be after the action. That would be different, not beforehand.
Any claims you make about voter fraud have to have court cases filed. And you can only reference the things that you say in the court case. Or at least if you're talking about it, it has to be under oath. Oh, actually, never mind. The under oath thing solves this. If you come out and you make claims of voter fraud and you're under oath when you're talking about it because you're a member of the government and you speak about it.
I mean, I don't know if that'll stop it. These people are so fucking slippery when they speak right now.
It doesn't matter, but it's not about them being slippery and getting them 100% of the time. This is like when you say, like, you shouldn't have passwords because people can hack passwords. It's about a percentage of things you can stop. If somebody were to say something wrong, but it's under oath, I can hold them a lot more accountable or at least, like, roast them a lot more. That people act differently under oath than they do not under oath. Even if they still lie under oath, even if they're slippery under oath, they have to be slippery in a different way. When they're not under oath, people can say the wildest, craziest, stupidest fucking things ever. They'll still say wild and stupid and crazy things. We see them, but you see the way that they squirm
that.
When they're under oath. So
like
I think
Trump
it's fine.
Saying he has $17 trillion coming in the next month. Type
yeah,
thing.
Or, well, that's about the U.S. economy or whatever. I'm just saying that when they're under oath, they say different things. I think that if people who are in elected office or are functioning as an elected representative or an elected official or like an administration official, when they're speaking to the media, they should have to be under oath when they speak.
You should have to think if you're talking to the media as an elected official. Like, you shouldn't just go out there and just say whatever fucking comes to mind.
Because one of the things that I point out over and over again is this top-down synergy between, I've talked about this for years now, between conservatives and like the, from the president to the cabinet, to the lawmakers, to the media, to the alt media. One of the reasons why the synergy can exist is because there's no accountability for the people who are lawmakers. Mike Johnson has the ability to lie to you the exact same way Alex Jones does. That shouldn't be possible.
Let me ask you this then. Republican comes out tomorrow and says, this green scam is hurting American companies. Climate change is bullshit. It's still the same temperature now as it was 10 years ago. I mean, I would say that scientists would say that is complete bullshit, but there's obviously huge party division on if this is true or false. Is that the type of thing that you're going to litigate? Like, climate change is probably a very good example.
If you make a concrete statement about the temperature, yeah, I think that's a litigable fact.
Climate change is bullshit. Complete bullshit. Scam.
Well, I think you would have to justify those words. How? Scam how? Bullshit how? You would have to make more specific claims.
They hate Americans eating cheeseburgers.
Fine. Make those claims. They can make those. That's an opinion. That's fine. But as soon as you start venturing into the realm of fact, temperatures haven't changed, there is no increase of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere or whatever, then you get smacked.
Well, no. What do they say? They say there is a change in CO2, but it's not related to climate change, and climate change is not real.
Well, how can you say climate change is not real? I guess maybe they say here, that's fine. Let them say it, but make them squirm around other statements, and then you can have people in the media that actually try to ask them real questions. So like when I'm arguing with Taylor Lorenz, the reason why she was able to get away with her slop, horrible fucking Wired article is because the people at Wired either don't care about journalism or the editors are massive Taylor Lorenz fans. Because everybody should be asking her questions. Like when I asked her, like, why don't you have parts of the contract in there? The first answer was, well, there are lawyers and everything. And it's like, okay, why didn't you put the actual quotes from the contract in there? Then she said, well, I have a whole process that I go through with editors
and
lawyers.
No, she's full of shit.
And then
listen,
I asked her, kind of, but not really. She's answering strategically. But if I push and push and push, eventually we got all the way down to, why don't you have quotes in the article? And she said, it was my choice not to. That's what the final answer was. And that's what everybody in the media should be doing. They should push people to get actual answers on things. But the reason why she's being slippery is because she probably does have some kind of contractual agreement with Wired. She can't just come out and blatantly fucking lie about the underlying facts. So she has to be slippery. It's just up to people in the media to catch people being slippery.
Sure. I think that stuff is annoying. Absolutely. I guess I would say there is other parts of this which gets frisky when it gets into societal issues. And if I say, Stephen, is Caitlyn Jenner a woman?
For trans stuff, I don't think that this is not an edge case that I would build my entire rule around.
I feel like we're doing the Republican thing where the leftist thing of where it's, if it's not perfect, then you can't do anything.
I'm not saying if it's not perfect. I'm saying I think that when you're talking about imposing measures to curb people's speech, which is, you know, I think these Republican fucks should be curbed. I think that it's important that we try to be as narrow as we can to cut out the bad shit so that they can't point to something like this and make it get completely hand-waved away as bullshit. And then you're sitting there holding your dick because you haven't thought through some of the more obvious things.
No, that's
things.
Okay. I think this would be fine. Negative to this might be a chilling effect where nobody wants to talk to media because it becomes a partisan weapon to investigate every statement. I disagree. I think Democrats will continue to talk to the media because they don't generally fucking lie about everything they say. And I think having one side that's willing to talk to the media and to see the Republicans that are never willing to talk to the media, I think that would be a nice example. It's kind of like saying like, why bother asking these people for a thing? You know they're not going to give a comment because you want to be able to put at the bottom of your article, we reached out to ABC and they didn't respond for comment. That's a good thing to have. It's better than just not even trying.
Yeah, if Republicans won't talk to the media, I mean, then only go on they their own literally media, just want to lie to you. Yeah.
Here's the real problem though. Taylor Lorenz is a blogger, so a lot of these rules are not going to be applying to her at all.
Well, she's not a public servant.
That either.
I think there should be a board. Oh, there's another thing. Good catch, Dan.
You're welcome.
There's no way this would work with free speech. This would actually be over the line. I feel like journalism or a journalist should be a protected title, but I don't think you can. That sounds like the worst idea ever for like a democratic free society or whatever.
It's so fucking annoying for Taylor Lorenz because she harps so hard on this. And if you say Taylor Lorenz was fired from WAPO, she'll be like, I wasn't. That's not true. But you know what the answer would be. Could you have stayed working there, you think? You think you could have stayed there for another few months?
It's possible. She would say, I was never fired and I left completely of my own volition. Whether or not I could have stayed there a few months is inconsequential. It would be some talk around like this.
Yeah, exactly.
But I don't like, she borrows so much language. I talked with another friend about this and this bothers me more and more the more I think about it. When people talk about Oh, and Kafka talked about this with me on stream as well. When you talk about like ethics standards as like lawyers or as like a CPA or whatever, there are boards that you are certified to that you have to adhere to these standards. You have to, because if you don't, you'll lose your accreditation. You'll lose your license. You won't be an MD anymore. You won't be a lawyer anymore. You have to adhere to these things. When Taylor Lorenz talks about, well, I'm a journalist, so there are ethics. No, there are not ethics to being a journalist. You have policies at private companies that can enforce them or not enforce them. There is no accreditation to being a journalist. It's not a protected fucking title. There's not a criminal penalty for violating things. Yeah, it's whatever.
Also, the ethics are kind of less meaningful when you can point to previous instances where they fucking didn't even
follow them. Yeah, like, but I would say not even ethics. I wouldn't say they're less apt. They don't exist. These are not accredited. These just aren't accredited names. They're not exist. Or they don't exist, sorry. Like, there is no ethics requirement for journalists. Like, there are for doctors or for financial people or for lawyers or for, I'm sure there are other things where you have to have an accreditation where if you fuck up the ethics here, you can lose your license. You can lose your accreditation. The idea of having, well, most of these boards are private, right? Or can you say private? Like the APA board, or what do you call it? The American, who licensed doctors? Is it the APA, the American Physicians Association or whatever? Who licensed MDs?
First state, isn't it?
Yeah, actually it might be state by state by state. I don't know if they're related to each other at all, or if there's like a federal one and then they do all the state ones, but I believe that they're all private, but like somehow they get accredited by the government. What rights would be taken away from a journalist if they lose their license? I think there needs to be it might be AMA for American Medical Association. I think there needs to be, we need to create a journalist, a news media thing in the United States. Right now, that distinction doesn't exist because it's all just the same shit as like entertainment. I don't think we actually have like recognized like journalist stuff.
I think right now it's just like if you work at like Washington Post or I guess, Associated Press, that carries a lot of weight behind it.
Yeah, but it's not like a thing. Well, yeah, but even press badges are whatever, right? Like if I go to the airport with my cases, I can say I'm press and they'll give you like a press badge, but there's not like a state licensed.
Correct, yeah. It means nothing.
What about anyone can be a journalist, but the highly accredited title can be a thing? Call yourself something else.
They try to legislate that stuff pretty heavily, I think. Didn't that happen to Mudahar? With like calling yourself an engineer is something that like Canada regulates or some shit?
Yeah, in Canada, like you cannot call yourself an engineer if you're not. Don't corn pop Dan. He's correct.
There are some differences between countries. That might have been a thing. Because I feel like people make videos on Mudahar and they got ass paint about it?
Yeah.
Yeah, as fuck. They're like, why are you calling yourself an engineer? You didn't go through college. It's like, okay, bro. Who gives a fuck?
What is the Bar Association? It's not like a government thing, right? It's just a private entity we all agreed to trust. I believe bars are accredited by the government. They get their accreditation from the government? But then they're the ones who decide if you become a lawyer or not. But like the idea of having some kind of like accredited journalist board where people could like lose their credentials or something, or where they have like these ethical obligations, I think would actually be super good. I think super based. I also got more triggered over the, I don't like all the I don't, I hate this term dark money or dark whatever, but I don't like that people can be getting paid from sources and you just don't know and they're doing media stuff. That just really fucking, it bothers me because what I try to think about is like, if I had access to this information, would I feel differently about it? And like, let's say that, I can use my own personal life as an example. Let's say, for instance, that like when you make statements publicly, like the Discord server that you spend the most amount of time in is like shows up next to all of your real life stuff or whatever. Let's say that you find out that every single person criticizing me comes from like the Hassan or the Gistical Discord server. I think that other people would look at that and they'd be like, oh, that's really interesting. Or let's say for Hassan, let's say that like 50 of the most vocal accounts that are attacking Hassan, let's say that all of that was published and you found out that all 50 of these things actually did receive a significant amount of money from AIPAC or something. You'd be like, oh, that's actually really interesting that all of those people are criticizing Hassan. I just think that having access to that information would change the way that people would operate in that environment, and it would change the way that we view people in that environment. I feel like the information would be really important to have. It would just change things, I think.
If you had to go for one, right, because you probably can't like push all of these things at once, what do you think is more important? People in Congress lying to the American people, or I guess like journalist integrity?
Why only one?
Well, I'm just saying, if like which one you would want to push more, but it doesn't
I think
matter.
The media environment is the thing that question. Matters the most. Technically, none of the lying politician things should matter, because the saying always used to be that like you expect politicians to lie to you, right?
To lie to you.
That's what they say. Conservatives still say that, but they treat all of their politicians like fucking gods. They don't pretend any of them lie. They assume everything that Donald Trump says is gospel truth, and everything that comes out of their mouths are gospel truth. And then I don't remember who said this before. This might have even been a fucking TV show. I don't remember. Somebody said it was something along the lines of like, if you're a journalist and you talk to a politician and you are not criticizing them, you're just doing like free PR for them. That's all you're doing. It's just free public relations, basically. Our media is just so not healthy right now. Our media and alternative media. I'm not just blaming mainstream media. Mm-hmm. Our alternative media environment is super fucked. And all of the social media feeds. Like, I think a huge canary in the coal mine, in my opinion, should be Richard Hanania. Like, I consider that guy to be pretty smart. I disagree with him on quite a bit. I disagree with him on a few things, especially he's way more hawkish than me. But I think he's smart enough to, he has his own thought process. He has his own mind. But even Richard Hanania got sucked down the MAGA hole, right? Do you know him at all?
I haven't seen this. I don't think so. Not yet.
Wait, do you know who he is?
Let me look him up real quick.
The guy with the curly hair.
Richard Hanania. No, I haven't watched shit on this guy.
Oh, well, fuck you.
Is he the guy that you were talking about who was super on the Epstein stuff? Like researching and learning all about it?
Well, him and Michael Tracy are big on the protecting the pedophile thing. Both of them are. When I say protecting the pedophile, I mean the word. They don't like that. Guys that fuck 17-year-olds are described as pedophiles and all. There is like a legitimate argument that they have behind it that like, and I actually do agree. I think I agree with most of what they say, that the obsession with pedophilia is just like a low IQ thing where it's like, it's the final form of like protect the children. It's just labeling every political adversary as like a pedophile. And I mean, it's happened in our world, in the online world, where everybody on YouTube is just like, that's a pedophile. And then that's just it. And then you've got it. It seems kind of cringe and dumb.
I think they should have like a board of accreditation for pedophiles. Like,
absolutely fucking true. Yes.
Hey, just a quick thing that kind of hit me while you were talking about these two different kind of semi-related things. What do you think about if there was like we're talking about, we have some kind of like protected version of journalist and maybe some board with it. But like, if you're talking to that person, if a politician or actually anybody's talking to that person in the context of their job, that is whenever they're on the record, right? So like, okay, Taylor Lorenz is not that type of journalist. So if I talk to her, things are going to be on the record. But if I talk to Anderson Cooper, he is part of that board or something like that. Do you see what I'm saying? Where like, this person is some kind of, like, we can trust them to be a like good steward of journalism such that whenever people talk to them, we know that this is on the record and like a statement that can be held against them. What do you think about something like that?
When they're speaking like in the functionality of a journalist?
No. Whenever a politician is speaking to that journalist, you understand what I'm saying? We're like, if Taylor Lorenz comes on and says, hey, this politician said this, that, or the other, right? I'm like, well, yeah, but they can say whatever they want to you because it doesn't matter. But then if I see like, oh, they were speaking to Anderson Cooper about it. Anderson Cooper has a specific accreditation. That means that what they said is on the record such like that this statement can be held against
yeah,
them.
Not, yeah. You see what I'm saying? The reason why I think it would be nice if we could figure out how to do some kind of like journalist or journalism accreditation is because you could attach a whole bunch of responsibility and requirements to it. Because right now you can't attach like anything, right? Like when you talk about like defamation or actual malice or whatever, you know, like it would be nice if we could create a whole different set of standards for journalists that would be better and would improve the health of that environment, you know?
Sure. Well, and I think that's kind of the, like, unfortunately, one argument against what this is that, you know, we have to now give journalists some level of respect and
I'm okay
you know,
with that.
Power.
I think they should be respected. Sure. And they are powerful. They're very important, right?
Well, sure. Well, and that's fine. But I'm just saying, like it's some kind of subset, like it gives them more legitimacy and I'm
yeah,
not
that's good
that's
though. I want to give all those things, but the idea is that it would actually be more legitimate, right?
Sure, but then we have to decide what that means and how that operates. And I'm saying,
yeah, of course,
making that person essentially making it where, like, if you're talking to a journalist that is under this accreditation, you're basically talking to a stenographer who's going to be recording this, and it's like, okay, like if I like so like then that way, like if let's say Johnson says something to a reporter, and then for whatever reason that's relevant in a court case, I can just cite to that directly and say, well, you said this right here.
Oh, sure. I think all of this would be, I think all of this would be covered under my, I think that like any administrative official or politician that's speaking about stuff related to their job, I think all of that, they should have to do like an oath thing before they speak. Like that should all be under oath stuff, basically. Like, so if sure. if Ted Cruz is asked a question about like, where's your favorite place to go vacation, then that's like not an under oath statement. But if it's about stuff that he does in terms of his job in the government.
Oh, so you, it would be like a test of like, is this statement, does it rise to the level of like in the capacity of his.
Exactly. And then all of those things should be treated as under oath statements. So if you lie or something, then it's, you can be whatever, contempt or whatever the fuck. I don't know what the charge would be or whatever for lying under oath. I think it's usually just contempt, right?
I don't, yeah. Perjury. I don't know if this is.
Or perjury. Perjury. Yeah. Sorry.
I don't know if this is like too lawyer brained or something that I don't know how well people can engage with it, but I think that that in conjunction with like, and I mentioned it in chat, I don't know if you saw, but that politicians should be treated, as fiduciaries of their constituents. So like, if you can show that a politician took an action in the scope of their work that is for their benefit over the interests of their constituents, right? So it couldn't just be like, oh, he voted in a way I didn't like. It couldn't be that. It would be like, it's similar to corruption, but it's like,
nah, I feel like that one's too hard because.
You think so?
Yeah, especially because now it feels like we don't really have, now the politicians in like House seats don't really represent their constituencies anymore. They are basically just part of the big federal blob, you know?
It's like the whipping thing, right?
Well, right, but I think that's the issue. I find a big issue that they aren't doing that. Like this puts it back onto them to be.
Maybe, yeah, but it's hard. It's really hard because now you'd have a balancing test created every single time. Because a lot of the votes in Congress happen on party lines. So what happens when there's a new vote that comes out about how we need to nuke all the swamplands to make space for illegal immigrants, and every red district wants to vote yes on this, except for the ones in Florida who are like, wait a second, we're red districts. But also, if you don't vote along with Trump, you know they're going to vote you out of your seat in Florida anyway. Like, what are you supposed to do there, you know?
Well, but where's the personal benefit of these people? That would make this...
Oh, well, I would assume that if you're doing things just to get elected again, you would consider that a personal benefit, like for raising money for campaigns. Like, well, because when you say personal benefit, what is the personal benefit? Are we talking about like just like taking bribes or...
Well, you could say taking bribes if you could say like, okay, like here's a, like you could even like, depending on how broad you want it to be, you could say, hey, let's connect it to like, here's like people that he is connected to that benefit specifically from this over the benefit of the constituency, right? So like, let's say you have shares in a company or you have a family member that's on the board of a company that benefits directly from an action you took and your constituency was negatively affected by it, right? In those cases, you wouldn't necessarily be convicted of corruption, but you could say, hey, you're doing things against the interests of the people you represent for your benefit.
Yeah, I guess. I'm just trying to think like who would have standing or who would even bring that case or whatever.
You just make it a civil liability action.
That civil liability, meaning, could any private citizen bring like...
Any constituent that suffered harm based off of his actions.
Yeah, but you're...
Like the person that would so receive much. The remedy would be the one.
Aren't you creating like a private cause of action that like every single citizen theoretically now has a right to enact based on every single piece of legislation? Not to get pedantic, but I feel like you could.
Well, not theoretically, but then also, but that's a question for any law. And we have solutions for that already through administrative processes. You can just say, hey, just have a pleading standard that they have to meet. And then you can just put it through
as somebody whose federal court case is already being delayed way too fucking much. Fuck you. I'm just kidding.
Well, you earned it. No, but no. I understand. Mm-hmm. And I understand like this. I think there's like an untrue, but actually like probably a healthy like fear from a lot of people of like too much litigation and it being like burdensome, like around this whole 230 discussion. People are like, oh my God, the litigation is going to be too much and it wouldn't be worth it. I understand that fear, but I think that can be a bit reductionist and kind of hamstring.
No, I do agree that would be, it's not good to just say we're worried about litigation. I'm just trying to think of what problems do I feel like this is solving? Like the biggest problem I have right now is the fact that it feels like politicians don't have to be honest and that the media is kind of complicit in this dishonesty. So I'm trying to think of like, how do you fight against that particular thing?
Yeah, no, this is unrelated to the dishonesty thing. There's just like something else that I like. I like the idea of the being under oath thing. Though I would say I think there would need to be, like, I think it's actually, like, there would need to be specific carve-outs where, like, honestly, like, I would even let the politicians, like, like at the beginning of the interview, you say like, I intend for this to not be like they make a statement. Oh, I intend for this to not be.
Yeah, that would be nice. I love that. Right. That's really nice. Do you know?
And then if they violate it, shit, I got work to do. All right.
Oh my God.
Love you guys. I gotta go.
Get out. You just fucking, how rude. Yeah.
No, I like that idea. In addition to this, like if politicians and et cetera have to be honest, do you think that the journalists, now this should be a part of the journalist integrity, but if you're adding a whole new thing, I think journalists should have to portray you fairly in their article.
Well, like you, what there should be is like the, I just feel so stupid saying it. I don't know if there's an IQ check and some people genuinely don't understand this or, but like you can make a bunch of true statements that are, that don't give you like a true understanding of a thing, right? Like if I say, like there were, oh my God, and that one guy tried to argue this, like Alex Preti approached ICE with a firearm, right? Like,
yeah, that's
factually,
statement,
that statement is true, but it's such bullshit. It's not really true 100%. At all, right? I don't know if there's a, I bet there's a name in philosophy for these where it's like the statement is absolutely true. It's completely and totally true, but the, I don't even like to say misleading, but I would consider that a lie. Even though the statement itself is true, it's just not. But like, you know what I mean?
It feels like a lie. No, I know what you're saying because that's not what they're intending at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how you would prove that. So let's say, okay, Kristi Noem goes up there. This new, she's under oath, and she says Alex Preti approached law enforcement with a gun. Well, that's not a lie. That's true.
Well, the benefit, the nice thing about the court process. Imagine court. Where there was no cross-examination. Like, imagine if you could bring up a witness, ask them questions, and the other side wasn't allowed to ask that same witness questions. That's what the media is like. Because if you were to bring them up and you were to say, did Alex Preti approach them with a firearm? And they say, yes, he did. It's like, no further questions, Your Honor. Then on cross, then the other side can get up and say, like, it's true that Alex Preti's firearm was not drawn at all when or whatever, right? Objection leading, whatever,
then
right? Was his
say,
arm
like,
was his firearm
yes.
drawn? Yeah. No, it wasn't out. Did any officer see it? No. Was he on the ground? Did they tag him on the ground? Had any officer seen the firearm yet? No. When he was just right, then you could then that would look horrible. But that's because you have the ability to cross examination in an actual trial, whereas in the media you don't. It's just one side asking questions. It's completely fucked.
Well, it feels like you're getting clipped, kind of. Yeah, you can lead on cross. Yeah, but yeah.
Oh yeah, because it's a hostile witness.
Yep. They're inherently hostile.
Why the fuck do you know that, you fucking retard?
Grand Theft Auto roleplay.
Shit.
Problem.
Okay, true. You can lead on cross.
If you don't want to leave, you don't want him to be led, don't ask the question.
Wait, why is it that, why would you ever ask the judge for permission to treat your own witnesses hostile? What's the point of that? Why would you have to lead your own witness?
Sometimes you have witnesses that aren't cooperating witnesses, right?
Oh, so I want to bring a witness.
Me or Dan is a witness, right?
Gotcha,
we would have to go.
And they would want to treat you as hostile escalating questions. Gotcha. Yeah. I'd argue that politicians should be treated as politicians whenever they're in public. The amount of power granted to you by being a politician should bring with it a level of public scrutiny responsibility outside the norm. No, I don't think that's fair. There's like, in Catholicism, the Pope has, there's a name for this, I think, but he's considered infallible. But not when he speaks on all things. It's only when he's speaking on matters of church doctrine, which makes sense, right? So if the Pope comes out and the Pope says In-N-Out is the best fast food restaurant in the United States, that doesn't mean anything. But if the Pope is speaking in matters of church doctrine, like what, I don't know what all that extends to, what language the mass be conducted in or speaking on Jesus or some church thing or whatever, like the church, the Pope is considered to be speaking from God, essentially.
Divine. God himself. Yeah.
So he's considered infallible in those in that context. And I feel like for politicians, it should be that when you're speaking on matters that are related to your office, that you are under oath. Those statements are all considered under oath and subject to perjury. Take a look at what a defense of democracy is. I think you would really like the framework of that. Maybe, I don't know.
The leaders of our nation just going out and doing news conferences and just fucking lying to the American people has got to stop.
Yeah, because these are my representatives to the world and to me. I should be able to trust what my president says to me. I shouldn't think that he's fucking lying about things. I remember when I confronted Posobiec on that a long time ago, when he was saying he didn't trust our intelligence agencies over something, and he was quoting like RT. And I think I asked him, I was like, who do you trust if you don't trust our own intelligence? And I don't think he actually answered my question. He wouldn't engage with it. But it's like, we're truly lost if we can't trust anything our government says. And when they're like destroying offices, like they just released another bullshit thing today on the White House website about the fucking COVID lab leak stuff.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I actually thought that was old because I'm pretty sure they released some other bullshit like that in the past.
You can't.
They probably have, but he has to do like official like disinformation pages now on the WhiteHouse.gov site, which is just fucking crazy.
Whoever our next president is going to have a fucking hell of a time cleaning this up.
Well, but it depends on how much they even want to clean up, right? That's my big fight with everybody else, is how much are we cleaning up versus how much is just going to be business as usual.
Well, they have to. In order to go back to business as usual, there has to be like a complete cleanup, because this administration is.
Yeah, but the complete cleanup has to happen with the public as well, right? Was there a statement Trump made you viewed earlier to spark this convo? No, I've just been thinking more and talking more with people. And I have to have a list of things now going into these conversations that I want to harp on a little bit, because I have to have some kind of solution. It's just a lot. It's just annoying. You've got this figured out. We just need a Michelin board that evaluates journalists. And if journalists meet certain criteria, they'd be given a Michelin star. The better you are, the more Michelin stars you get. Were you going somewhere with Kat Abu Ghazaleb? I think you just said that she's a left view. Didn't I mention? Well, no. Apparently, she found out that a bunch of people were kind of running attack ads against her, or were making kind of attack addy statements on social media. And she found out that there is some group, I don't know what the name of the fund is, but some C4, some dark money fund or whatever, that is apparently funding a bunch of people, and they're all making these statements about her. And yeah, I don't know. That would just annoy the fuck out of me. I don't like that. I just don't like that can happen. That just bothers me. I don't like that. Would you rather have a liberal president that is soft on this administration, or a leftist president that goes hard? Leftist means socialist or communist.
Okay. We can fix that later.
Can we? The big issue that I would have, honestly, because I'm thinking about this, the big issue I would have with a leftist president is that the big issue I'd have with a leftist president is they would both sides at all. If there was a leftist president that legitimately thought the Republicans were significantly worse than the Democrats, I might actually be okay with it. But they wouldn't be. They would just both sides the fuck out of it. You do realize if you make this law, someone will challenge it under the first. This will easily be a burden on speech. Will not pass strict scrutiny. I think it will. Fuck you. If I have to show my fucking ID every time I want to fucking jerk off to fucking Pornhub now, that there's going to be a database of coomers in every fucking state, fuck you.
It probably won't happen the First Amendment needs to be changed a bit.
Jesus. There's a lot of like getarounds for the First Amendment stuff. It's not as absolute as
I would hope so. If your politicians can literally lie to you and it's upheld under the first, then it needs to be changed.
No. Like the State of the Union should be an under oath thing. Like imagine the president literally has a statement addressing the country.
Yeah. I mean, all of the old fireside chats should have been under oath in theory.
Yeah.
Like if you're talking to your nation as a president, then yeah, it should be. Like Trump's Truth Social should be, in my opinion, under oath.
There's a great Veritasium video about different voting systems and how changing the voting system may lead to some of the reforms you're suggesting happening indirectly. Yeah, maybe. I don't know, bro. The more I read about other countries, the more I'm okay with America. The little bit of digging I did into, I can't believe how fucked the British shit is. You guys are crazy over there. I would take America, every part of America's system, over the autistic fucking first past the post multi-party constituency non-constitutional supreme parliamentary system you guys have in Bongerland. Holy fuck, every part of that is fucking wild. Every part of that is so unbelievable to me. I would be a million times more afraid of reform now that I understand that they could come in one legislative session can destroy your entire fucking country. Holy shit. And first past the post multi-party shit. Oh my god. At Destiny, why do you never give a serious answer when someone asks you for advice on how to start researching for politics? I've given serious answers before. I'm sorry. Fuck. I made that fuck your mom joke to that guy and he donated $15. 15. I hope he's still here. I'm sorry. Listen, the serious answer, I hate that I'm giving you this answer, but post Vyvanse Destiny will tell you there's unfortunately no shortcut for, you just have to start reading stuff. You have to develop like a working vocabulary for a subject field. And then you just have to start reading stuff in that field. And then eventually you'll start to, because it's impossible to tell what's even true or not true, or to gain any insight about whatever you're reading about, to even know what you should be reading about the thing you're reading about, until you've read a little bit about what you're reading about. So like, it could be as simple as like, I know this is cringe and horrible, but like, it could be as simple as you have to actually it's a big one. You have to actually pick up a book and read it about a thing. First, you have to make sure you have the general knowledge of the thing. So that might mean if you want to learn about central banking or something, like you should have like go take an Econ 101 online course, a 12-hour Econ 101. You should know like what does it mean when somebody says inflation or supply and demand or comparative advantage or what is productivity? Like these basic, you should know like basic stuff about marginal cost, whatever. Like you should know basic stuff about the field, and then you just have to pick a book. Usually in any given field, there's going to be like this is the most widely recommended book in this field. There are going to be, you know, sometimes people say there are a million different studies and blah blah blah. That's not actually true. If you're going into a particular field, there's going to be renowned researchers from a given field. They're going to have like landmark papers that are published in those fields. And if you start actually reading stuff, you're going to recognize the same names, the same concepts, the same whatever else. I don't remember them anymore. But like when we were doing all the research on COVID lab leak, the topic that I will never get to debate with anybody in the entire world because nobody has the confidence to debate because they're all fucking losers. But like you started to see like the same researcher names popping up over and over and over again. It's like, oh, I recognize this guy. Oh, I recognize this guy. Oh, this person publishes here. But there's just no shortcut into, like, you just have to start reading stuff. Yeah, I can't give you a shortcut there. That's it.
That's what I do every morning.
There's just no shortcut for it. But like once you start to read stuff, like even Mr. Mutin, as we've watched him get more political or whatever, right? Like even there are things now that somebody could say to him that he would instantly recognize that before there's just no heuristic. There's no shortcut. There's no way to do it without just kind of
shortcut.
Immersing.
It's called Claude.
Good one.
Research mode.
Without immersing yourself in any given subject matter first or whatever. What do you want, Radiant?
I wanted to talk to you about your takes about bad faith actors, because I was listening to your thing with North, and I joined late, so I didn't listen to the first part. But apparently you got into, you said something about how like you can't make a rule, you can't like structure a system around bad faith actors, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of your examples is like about murder.
Okay.
And like if it was like, the hypothetical was like, if somebody, like murder is bad, but if somebody were to like find some random jurisdiction where like they could murder somebody and not be punished, like...
It was about culture at that point, no?
What are you asking me?
What? I don't know what you mean.
I said that no, you can't make a rule system that can survive bad faith engagements with the rules. That's impossible.
I mean, yeah, I think...
Then we agree.
I feel like... Well, no, I don't agree with that necessarily, because I feel like it's in human nature to be kind of like bad faith, or to like find a loophole or whatever, or like, you know, find just like holes in the system, right?
No.
And like, it's kind of like on the rulemakers.
No.
What do you mean no?
Just what I said, no.
But what does that mean? Like, you disagree with that?
Like, if we were to play Risk, if we were to play Monopoly, like, we would understand that there's like a rule set and we would play within that rule set. We wouldn't be trying to break the rules all the time.
I mean, yeah, but you're trying to figure out how to play within those rules, right?
Yeah.
Like, if you just break the rules and you're just like throwing it all away, then like, nobody's going to obey the rules. It's like, whatever, right?
Sure. But like, we're trying to figure out like, when things reach the real world, so Monopoly and all these things are much simpler. Do you ever play D&D?
No.
Have you watched me play D&D?
A little bit.
So like me and Mutin and Nick playing D&D with Neil. Jesus. Koibu. Neil. Like that would be an example of what I would consider borderline, what I say like bad faith engagement with the rules, because we're trying to break them in very ridiculous and wacky ways. Now we all agree to do this. Like it's fun for us, and Neil agrees to let us do this and it's fun for us. But like, for instance, when the rules say that if you drink a potion, it has these effects, right? Well, it's pretty clear that the intention of that rule is when you uncoif a potion or whatever, and then you drink it, that the potion takes effect. So when me, Mutin, and Nick have a side rule, we make, well, what if we put the potion in our mouths, but we don't swallow it until later on? That's not like a good faith engagement with the rules. Now, Neo can let us do it, and I think he did for some things, as long as we put water in our mouths and held it or whatever. Yep. But like that type of thing, like ordinarily, like if you're playing in a normal game where you're trying to be expeditious and you're trying to do things quickly and by the book, you'd say, well, no, you can't do that, right? But if you
then it's on the DM or whatever to
exactly
to figure out how
correct
to,
on a
like,
judge
like enforcement
yes on a judge right, right, or right. executive yeah but it can't be a perfect rule set. You need human enforcers to make sure that people are playing by good faith in the rule book.
Well, right, yeah. So but like, okay, so in real life, like shouldn't you just say that like we've got the laws on book kind of like outlining,
but you need
like
judges, right?
Should be happening.
Like you can't just break a law and you're held instantly accountable. You've got to go to court to figure out if you really did break the law. That's a whole ass argument that requires a human interpreter to figure out if it happened or not.
Yes, but I don't understand like why you're saying that like you need to do like some kind of like I guess illiberal like exercise like mostly with the hypothetical. I was having an issue with the hypothetical where you're saying like if somebody finds like some jurisdiction where you can murder somebody for without being punished for it, like it's somehow bad, when like it's more just like maybe that jurisdiction or whatever should be just like ruled or written into the law, right?
What
about your hypothetical about murdering people?
Oh, I think when I gave, okay, I'm sorry, let me clearly elaborate on this. I'm sorry, I gave the hypothetical of like a guy shooting somebody across state lines and then them not like being held accountable or whatever by the other state because they're across state lines, and that would be a bad faith engagement with the rule, right?
I mean, yeah
sure, you could write that into the rule, but what I'm saying is that like if there are people that are looking to break the systems in this way, you would never be able to write enough rules to help all of them. It'll be infinitely fucked. It'll just never
work. But there's
work.
always there's always people looking to do that, though.
Yeah, but and you then, still hold like, them what? Accountable. You punish them when they are doing bad faith breakings of a rule to get around something that was clearly intended by the legislature. If they're clearly trying to get around a thing that we clearly know is bad, then you still find ways to hold them accountable.
Yeah, they're punished in later infractions, right?
No, like, you punish them trying to break the spirit of the rule immediately.
I mean, so you know how like there's like, what do you call them? Like, are they Red Hat hackers or something? You know, like how there's like hackers that like try to break into systems or whatever, but they get paid lots of money by companies because
White Hat hackers.
You know, like,
sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but like the I feel like there's like some like, I don't know, like there's just onus on the people to write proper rules.
Well, hold on. Why did you use that example? Because that example is going to play exactly into my thing, right? This is a company that's hiring somebody to either do penetration testing, or it's going to be like a White Hat hacker guy who discovers some vulnerability and then responsibly discloses that vulnerability to the company, usually in exchange for payment and security and safety. These are people who are working very much within the bounds of the system, no?
I mean, technically, but... Okay, so because I'm thinking in situations, or let's say like we've got like people that abuse like, let's say, Twitter API, right? And so what Twitter would do is that they make start charging everybody to use the API from now on, because there's people that would spam it to train their AI or whatever, right? Like, it's not like Twitter's going to go ahead and punish those people or whatever. They basically changed their rules. They didn't like punish the people that were abusing the API, if that makes sense, right?
No.
I don't know what the fuck you just said. That's what.
But okay, no, like as like people who break the current rule, or they're not breaking the current rules, they're not breaking any currently written rules, like they're not going to get punished, or at least I don't think people usually get punished for that, like in law,
man. No one knows what you're talking about.
I don't. Okay, because I'm not forming my argument properly. Okay, like people who do stuff like who do things that's not currently illegal, they can't get punished retroactively, right?
Usually not. No.
Okay, so like, I don't understand, like, why, but, like, the reason for that is just because, like, it wasn't against the rules before.
Okay.
Like, are we saying that you can't ever treat rules in a bad faith way? Like, I feel like that's the entire reason why, like, rules are written, so we know, like, what is allowed, what isn't allowed, and, like...
You got the tism, huh?
But does it make sense? Like, it does make sense, doesn't it?
There are some things in a rule that you should change because it's, like... There are some things in a rule, like there's, I don't know what the distinctions are. Everybody who's not autistic knows these things intuitively. There are some.
No, I know.
It's not a cop out. It's not a cop out because we're human beings and we're human beings. We don't operate like fucking computers that read machine code. Everybody understands like the intentionality of a rule. And there are ways that you can maybe break these creatively that aren't going necessarily against the spirit or they're like edge cases. And then there are ways you can break these where it's like, it's very clearly bullshit.
Okay, so wait, in regards to Trump, right? Like, we agree that Trump is breaking a bunch of, like, existing laws, right? It's just that there's nobody that's there to enforce them. Shouldn't we then, I guess, like, rewrite these laws so that they're enforceable in their own ways? Or, like, maybe they're more distinct or clear about what are, like, how, like, when
something is breaking
the law. Yeah,
you can clarify them if you want, but you should still hold the people accountable who are breaking them, right? So I just looked up the 2025 murder statute in Florida, okay? Do you think that in the 2025 murder statute in Florida, I'm seeing here the second element that's listed here is the unlawful human of or the unlawful killing of a human being. Okay, or sorry, so 1A. This is the unlawful killing of a human being. All right. So I see here that the unlawful killing of a human being when perpetrated by any act imminently dangerous to another and evincing a depraved mind or regardless of human life, although without any premeditated design to effect it, blah, blah, blah. I'm seeing a lot of human being here. What if somebody identifies as like a furry anthro or whatever, and I kill that person?
Well, we have a definition of human being, though.
And what if I legitimately, like, do we have a definition of human being that excludes like fucking furry anthro? Am I really going to find that in Florida statutes that a human being is defined as a thing with two arms and two legs and has human DNA and all of that? I doubt it. It's probably a conventional understanding of like what a human being is going to be my guess.
But yeah, but then we'll just bring in an expert who would then determine if they're a human being or not. like it's not, this isn't hard to figure out.
You really, we would bring in an expert to determine if they're a human being? That would be the burden? What if I bring in another expert and I say, well, I don't think this person is a human being, and my expert wins in court, and then you patch the law and say, fine, now furries and anthros are going to be also considered part of this human being class. Is the person that murdered the furry just walking away scot-free, even though he's like,
that's a good person,
very clearly and obviously like breaking this.
Isn't the definition of a furry a human being that's wearing an animal costume?
Okay, like, what do they call the guys that, there's a name for the people that don't, because I don't remember.
Yeah, like they pretend, like they say,
aren't
like,
they,
oh,
don't anthros consider
an
themselves
animal.
Not like humans, or am I making this up? I don't know.
There are some people who believe that they are deers, yeah.
Otherkin, anthropos.
Okay, yeah, there's people who believe that, but if you, but like physically and everything else, I don't think they would deny that they're physically, you know, a human.
I don't know. Some people are crazy.
Okay, that's silly.
What if
though,
they legitimately then, like, truly say that, and they really do, and they're of sound mind, and they say, I don't consider myself a human being. I really truly don't consider myself a human being. And then you kill that person. You don't really have the mens rea of murdering a human being. They thought they were some animal thing, and you thought they were some animal thing. Like, should that person really not be held? Like, would you patch okay, this law?
Well, one, that guy might actually would be an insane person.
Why like, would they have to be insane? They're making logically coherent and consistent statements.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Like, as in, like, they would go, like, to mental treatment or whatever. Like, you know what the thing is. People get off based on insanity. Like,
why would this person be insane?
Truly,
what's
truly
insane about this?
That they're an animal.
Well, not an animal, what? But they just think that human being is defined as something different. You have to have the cognition of feeling like you're part of the human race. If somebody truly identifies more with some animal kin or whatever the fuck else, then fine, they can identify that way. And I think that's legitimate, but there's not a human. Is this a crazy person?
Based on, like, if we had a psychologist assess them.
I just disagree.
If you beg the question on everything, then of course everything you're going to say is correct. If a psychologist is going to assess them and agree. But, like, if they're reasonable in every other part of their life, why would you assume this person is insane?
Because... Okay, we're saying in this situation, there's a person who considers themselves as an animal, and they murdered somebody. But because they think that they're not a human,
yes,
they didn't break any laws.
Yes. Well, they didn't break the murder statute, because the murder statute says human being over and over again.
Well, I would say it's probably a like a mental disorder to consider yourself as a...
Okay,
like,
that's great, but all you've done now is you've taken my argument of good faith, and you're using that same argument. You just don't realize it, because now you're saying if somebody doesn't engage with the legal system the way that I like it, rather than saying they're engaging in bad faith like I would say, you're saying, well, they're just crazy.
Okay, okay. Regardless, like, yes, the law could be rewritten, but I think if you were to assume that the judge is a reasonable person, like, they're just going to indict them for murder. Assuming
I agree.
That, like,
but that's because they would look at the law and they would say, you're not engaging with this in good faith, motherfucker. And they wouldn't patch the law either. They wouldn't say, we're going to include furries as humans. They would say, this is retarded. You're retarded. But not legally retarded, just retarded.
Well, but the point is that, like, there's no need to go towards, like dictatorial type of, like, enforcement.
Who's talking about dictatorial, like, enforcement?
I mean, as in, like, illiberal, right?
We're talking,
like,
about illiberal, not... any... you're going back to the broader government argument? So, yeah, I don't know what that would look like 100% yet. Can you give me an alternative or anything, or is it just...
Okay, so like, right now, I feel like that there is a lot of things that Trump is doing that is probably illegal, is that there's no enforcement body to... Or, like, nothing currently, there's no system to, like, kind of account for that. So, like, I guess, like, there needs to be, like... The people currently who are in place are not neutral people, so they aren't able to enforce what's on the books.
I mean, we have an enforcement body. We have Congress that can impeach. We've got a Department of Justice that can indict.
That's what I mean. They're not objective.
Sure.
Like, at the end of the day, it relies on the, like, in a democracy, like, the people have to kind of keep themselves accountable, right? And, like, if they don't believe that they, like, or, like, if they don't believe it's corruption, then it's not actually corruption because they don't think so, right?
Okay.
I just mean, like, yeah, I don't think, yeah, you don't need to go to Nuremberg trials, I guess, is the main thing.
What should happen? What do you think should happen to right our country?
Yeah, fucking tell us,
man. It's hard to say. Okay, I know. It sounds dumb. It sounds cucked, right? But, like, if Trump is democratically elected, then it may be the people really just don't like democracy, as dumb as that sounds, right? Like, it really does, like, kind of depend on the people to kind of hold themselves accountable, right?
That's a non-answer, though. I'm saying, let's assume that we're going to continue in a democratic system and we win power next. What do you think we should do to right the ship?
Oh, enforce the laws in the book.
Okay, so if Trump does a global pardon on every conservative...
What do you mean by global pardon?
He says, every single Republican person, I'm writing every single person registered as a Republican in every state now, and I'm pardoning them for all crimes that they've committed for the past 50 years.
Then you're going to have to write an amendment, or then you have to do like a constitutional amendment that says Trump pardons are illegal, or like they don't count anymore.
Is that not illiberal? Because now you're like, I don't know if it's...
It's not illiberal because that's in the system that we agreed upon.
You just said altogether. We have to amend the Constitution, which definitionally means it's not in the system.
No, it isn't. No, but the Constitution has a system where we can change any rule that we want.
Well, in that case, then, like, I can write any rule that I want because it's a Constitution.
But it's 90%. It requires like 70% of the people to like decide on that, right?
Well, then you're probably not going to get them to decide on it because 50% of the people just got global pardons.
Well, then that's the thing, right? Like, that means that people just don't think it's corruption. Like,
okay,
that's the problem.
Okay, then you're
saying
that we don't do anything then.
No, I'm not saying we don't do... I mean, that's just what it is. Like, people just don't believe in democracy. Like, you can't... Like, right, the Constitution itself, we have a system to account for, like, those extreme edge cases where the president is abusing pardons, right?
Hey, like, that's just what it is, Stephen. Shrimple ass.
It is in the system, right? Like, we have it. It's there. Like, if it turns out...
That's just what it is, man.
I mean, what am I saying is incorrect?
That's just the way it is.
Like, you can't, because, okay, the problem with that is just that, like, we have the system in place where it says, like, well, if, let's say if we get a president that does abuse the pardon system, because I guess that's always been a possibility, well, then we could, like, there's a mechanism in the Constitution where you can just get, I think, like 70% of the population to decide that we need to add this new amendment to change how it works, right? But, like, if we're just going to ignore that, and because, like, we decided, or at least, like, I don't know, let's say, like, 40% of us decided that, like, the president is not using the pardons in the way that we want it to, like, well, you know, then you're just kind of breaking the rules, right? Like, we're breaking the rules that we set.
That's just the way it is, man.
You're just being silly. Listen, the point is just that, like, if the, like, in a democracy, like, if just the people don't believe it's corruption, then you can't really do anything about that. Or it's really hard to fix that. Like, the only way you can fix that is by teaching the people, like, I don't know, to think better, be more democratic.
Shrimple as. Okay.
Nothing's ever fixable.
Yeah, I will. I will.
Thank you.
Moon is being defeatist, but I will register your thoughts as they're registered, okay? I've registered them. All right? Be careful.
DGL.